Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Did he have access to? Was that just a general drinks party?
Yeah, we just go in there.
So
it wasn't like bring your own sort of fizz. Supremely classy youths. Yeah, we were just talking before we started recording. That's the voice of Ivor Graham, dear listener. And I have a friend who used to live near here. That's right, Lancaster Gate, Hyde Park. Living near here is quite the thing, isn't it? And we used to go to New Year's Eve parties. So I was going to park and hang around in the shelter, which sounds rather more detached youth than and then when you look at the shelter, you're like, oh, I see, that is where you were. So, yeah, I got a picture of that. And now I'm going to start the old run measurer, to use a technical term. And then let's run.
And we're away. I'm going to pop mine on as well, actually.
Nice. Good. Welcome back to the show. Lovely to have you on.
Thanks for having me back, Rob.
Good to see you.
It's so nice to see you. Even outside of this context of, you know, monopolising our company for content.
Yeah, absolutely.
Congratulations on quite a busy spring of marathons.
Well, yeah, I know you did.
Two and an ultra?
Two marathons and an ultra, that's right. Thank you for paying attention to that ridiculousness. And congratulations on your family marathon.
Oh, that was a lovely day as well.
So, well, we're running around. We're very lucky to be in Hyde Park, which I was really, when I heard that this was going to be handy for you today, I was made up because I haven't run here for a while because it's not near my wife's work anymore. And of course, it's just absolutely stunning, particularly...
Your wife's work has moved, not the park.
Yeah, the park's still here, but she's somewhere else. And she's got a nice park near there as well. But this is, it's nice any day of the year, and it's about to be... We're on the cusp of May and June, so come on.
The appreciation of spring. I want just a sort of general commentary on sort of seasonal changes and, the places you're running through. It's one of the lovely things about the podcast. It's not, you're not blind to your surroundings.
No, but isn't it one of the lovely things about running?
Yes, of course.
Because, I mean, a lot of people talk about the health benefits. You know, obviously it's good for your body, done right. We know now, both from experience and from study, that it's good for mental health. And fundamentally in life, moving your body is good for your physical and mental health.
Yes.
But it's not just that, it's moving your body in the world. As my late great grandmother-in-law, Nana Lois McKenzie, had lots of very wise little phrases.
Your wife's grandmother?
Yes. Lovely. And one of them was, if in doubt, go out.
How nice.
She's right.
To have any relationship at all with one's partner's grandparent.
Yeah.
Let alone, you know, have collected wisdom off them that stays with you.
She was brilliant. Yeah. And the thing is that with the nature of grandparents, she was, she lived to a great age. She died at 99. But so she, you know, she, I.
In no small part, thanks to her, you know, energetic.
go, if in doubt, go out. Stolid Scottishness. But also, yeah, from a grandparent point of view, my also beloved grandparents were long gone. You know, which is why I had that relationship, because she's the only grandparent I had for 20 years, you know.
If in doubt, go out. So, and I know it's very basic, but I don't think I've ever heard it expressed as crisply and rhymingly. Is that?
Yeah.
Little tunnel as we come to the Serpentine.
It rhymes and echoes. Coot on a nest on your right. Coot on a nest on your right. Okay, I feel like we haven't started.
Sorry.
No.
No, I was just once more agreeing with your late grandmother-in-law. One of the things about being self-employed and doing stand-up, self-employed, which I am because I do stand-up, is... You do have, I would say less for me these days, and I was being a bit busy with the odd sort of day writing job and also parenting, but particularly in my 20s, and still quite regularly, you have these slight sort of days where you rot a bit, and it's amazing how many mornings I'll get into a little bit of a rut of inefficiency and self-laceration.
Yes.
And then you just leave, ideally for a run, but even just to go and get anything from the shops, and you go outside. And you're like, it's just go outside. And you know, it's
just a reset, isn't it?
The shrinking sort of prison.
Hey, look, let's cross and do the path on the other side. Catch a bit of the grass
next to those lovely deck chairs. They look nice, don't they? But they're not free.
So, returning to your marathon, I'm constantly reminded to ask you about it because.
Often what I'm constantly reminded of while you cough. Use my opportunity to say, and I'm sorry, a lovely hack at the end there.
Yeah, yeah.
From a man who's anything but.
If anything, I slightly oversold that.
It's all texture. When I did this podcast this time last year, it was, you know, we'd both done the Brighton Marathon.
Yep.
And I talked almost. I talked about mine for the entirety of the podcast. And that's not, you know. Of course, you know, you've got your platform, your panting platform every week. But nonetheless, I think a bad guesting. So I'll talk about my marathon a bit.
Not at all. Just for context, if you don't remember or if you haven't listened to our last chat run, you'd just done. But were you about to do London?
No, so I didn't do London. So last year we both did Brighton.
Oh, it was Brighton we were talking
about. And then what it teed up, and what I was so grateful for, and what I've not had a running podcast, to say thank you for, is your company and encouragement in my Huntleth.
Yeah.
When I did the most sort of thinly justifiable of ultra marathons, only slightly longer than a full marathon, but we're on a sort of repeating loop around Powys, basically around down at Mount, during the month comedy festival, and different friends and comics joined me for different loops, and you came for the final two loops.
Yep.
Brought fantastic energy, pure daring, and we listened to some music, and we talked about that, and it both empowered me and distracted me, and I listened back to it, and even got the lovely little moment, not that it was a hugely sort of eventful or well-attended thing, but the moment when I arrived back in my Huntleth, and there's a little smattering of cheers.
Yeah.
I felt quite moved listening back to that.
A champagne party.
And then you were doing your ultra in... Now, what are these we're looking at?
Egyptian goose, Egyptian duck.
Egyptian duck.
And those are ducklings.
I think.
So you just get a classier young bird in Hyde Park, don't you? Young birds here are pretty classy. I think someone's misunderstood me there.
Are they quacking like an Egyptian?
They're definitely... Yeah, they're just... walk like an Egyptian goose.
And then you did a 50K, a similar thing.
Well,
just a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I suppose your McCunkleth Ultra was quite inspiring to me.
No, I'm not trying to claim that.
No, but looking at it this way, it's kind of.
I'm just saying, there's at least a sort of a mirroring there.
It was though. It was because when you put it together like that, when you're somewhere beautiful in the country, Monty Magpie, and you're with friends and chatting, it's amazing the miles you can do. I mean, I didn't go very far at all that day, but we were doing longer than 10, weren't we? So it was about, I probably did about half a marathon with you.
Yeah.
On those two loops or something like that. About Well over 20k anyway, more like sort of 23, something like that. And it just felt like nothing. And then running with you, there's also that, because you made it look very easy.
That's very kind.
Kept asking you how you're feeling. You're like, yeah, I'm a bit tired. My legs hurt. I'm like, yeah, yeah, he looks all right. There's a moment in one of our chats where you were pushing up the hill on the lane, you know, which will be for like the fifth time that day, you know. And all of us who were with you were trying to keep up. And I was going, I've got a question. And you were like, yeah, thanks for asking that. Poor Stuart Laws, who I dragged. I was like, come on, come around for another one. And on his second loop, he was like, gee, my knees.
Stuart Laws really was carrying an injury and doing quite an important bit of filming that night.
Yeah.
And I think he started the run with us throughout the day, then went off and did some other festival business, and then rejoined the final couple of loops. There were you and Laws and my dearly beloved best friend Alex Keeley were three of the real flag bearers. I don't know. Anyway, participants.
Yeah.
That you called her. So that was that. That was
well,
nice.
Well, I missed it. I was there. Were you in Hercleth at all this time?
It was very smash and grab this year by comparison.
Yeah.
Drove up on the Sunday at lunchtime, did a show at lunchtime, watched one other show.
Was it mine? Did you sneak in the
back? I'm afraid it was not. It was the one which was, I was very interested to see, but it also was conveniently straight after mine on the Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
Adam Flood, it was very funny. And then got back in my car, straight back to London. No marathons. Almost no socialising.
Well,
not the way the festival's meant to be done at all. But
yeah, I don't know. I think it's sort of half is and half isn't, isn't it? Because there's so much going on, and it's such a it is a smash and grab is the phrase. Because I was there, I did two shows. I was there all day. My wife was there. We went to the seaside. The shows were great fun. But it still feels like when you see people. I didn't see you, but everyone I saw, like I remember seeing Rob Rouse. And it was like, oh, hi. And he was literally, you know, he didn't break stride.
Right.
And I just thought, that's it. That's what you do. Because you're always rushing to get somewhere. There's a kind of joyous ships in the night feel to the whole thing. The only thing you can kind of rely on, which is kind of wonderful, is audiences. You get to the gig and there they are.
Yes.
You're like, hello.
Well, the nice thing about doing Beat This, I guess, is that you get to spend, you know, an hour of quality and, you know, quite silly time with four people.
Absolutely, and with the audience as well. And exactly, I mean, Beat This, I have to put it together and rehearse it. But as you know, that's all content, that's all questions and stuff. In terms of the fun and the jamming and what the show is, it's entirely guest and audience generated. So yeah, it's the perfect show to take into that situation, exactly. That means you're actually landing in the community, in one spot for an hour, which is a bit like, I suppose, one of the reasons we enjoyed accompanying you on a couple of loops of your Ultra Quest.
Well, I suppose there's a...
We're on horse bit. Is this good for our...
Yeah,
how are your trotters? Do you need to be reshoed?
No, I don't need to be reshot because I've been recently shot in some, and this is not a product placement. Although they did get in touch on Instagram, and I think they might send me another pair.
Okay.
These Mizunos were bought with my own money.
Nice.
As my first ever carbon plate.
They're your
shoes.
Zunos.
They're my Zunos now. although I'm far from the most prominent Mizuno champion, Haruki Murakami.
Oh.
Where's Mizunos? And that was what really got it over
the
line for me.
He talks about when he talks about running shoes.
But exactly.
That's right. That running commentary where you come for the Murakami paraphrase.
You
comedy.
Didn't really go for my quack like an Egyptian bit, but you were saving yourself.
I was in
for
the process
big Murakami.
I was in the process of trying to get it and basically repeating it and then thinking, that's the joke I just did, Rob. He's already done that joke.
So yeah, carbon plate, which actually these should be race shoes really rather than lovely sort of pod jog. But yeah. I'm just enjoying them so much.
Yeah, but if you're going to run around Hyde Park, you should be wearing the absolute top end stuff. Like the guy who ran past my house yesterday morning, wearing £250 if they're a penny shoes.
Wow,
I'm like, mate, you're saving for race day, for goodness sake. The funny thing is about certain carbon plated shoes, other than the ones you've got on, is that they go plop, 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 plop when you run in them.
Are you hearing mine doing that a
no,
bit more?
No, not at all. Because they're not the brand to which I refer.
Oh, I see. Specific Rob's least favourite ploppers.
This guy doing sprints, look at that. Good Lord.
Well, I'll tell you one thing I still haven't done, although I'm aware it's not literally just sprinting on your own in the park. I still haven't joined a running club.
Right.
I still haven't done any interval training.
Yeah.
All my running has basically been solo. And I have tried this year to get a bit to, you know, be watching the pace that I run as I run, because I've tried to sort of build up my speed and my targets. But that thing which everyone, you know, speaks about positively to the point of evangelism about, you know, being part of a club with a group,
yeah,
and getting run ragged.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm still yet to build into a sort of weekly routine, which again is one of the trickier things about doing stand-up.
Yeah. And of course, I think maybe it runs deeper that we have to some extent chosen a jazzier life than that which provides these week slots that appear at the same time, week in, week out. And I absolutely, of course, like you say, we see the absolute magic of being in a running club, but I don't think it's something I would do either. I love running with other people, and it's been one of the great lessons of both running with Paul and running commentary in general, but that I wouldn't have done before because I was hiding in my headphones. But I wouldn't want it to be that formalised. But then I don't like my hard training to be that formalised. I always want to pretend to myself that I've almost started doing it by accident. Oh, me, running in the park, I'm really fast. I didn't mean to, it just happened. And that is the great lie of my life.
How did your, I mean, obviously we'll have covered this on the pod already, but how did your, you know, how did your Brighton compare to last year's Brighton that we both did? How did your Brighton compare to this year's London?
Yes.
With the Welsh Ultra in the middle.
Well, no,
Welsh Ultra after London.
The Ultra was last.
Sorry.
That's right. Basically, it was a bit, there was an analogy I drew for the listeners about Denise Richards' character at the end of the world is not enough, right?
Yes.
And James Bond says, "I'm going to go out of this submarine and swim up the side of it, and in exactly so and so amount of time you've got to open this door and now I'm going to get back in. If you don't press that big red button, I drown." She says, "Yeah, I can do that. It's quite difficult." And then in the time James Bond is out swimming up the side of the submarine, further action takes place and the room with the red button in floods with frothing, rolling water, making Denise Richards' challenge much harder.
Yes.
And that was what my run of marathons was like, really. Brighton was really lovely, felt strong, went well, specifically put to bed last year's Brighton when I was quite ill and just sort of surviving it.
A bit cooler this year as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was good in all kinds of ways. And then my life started to get much more difficult for domestic and soap opera style reasons, which was both emotionally draining and physically time consuming and tiring. So by the time I got to London, I was like, ooh, okay, quite pleased with London, because I really hung in there. I basically ran the last leg of London on obstinacy, you know what I mean? Just the carrying on running was a major success.
But you had some luck with the playlist,
to be
fair. I'm going
to take a sudden pause.
Of course. Hello. We've come to Park Sports Cafe.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com. Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
So, so that was London. And then the Wrecking Beacons banner, Brecheniog Ultra, was obviously an absolutely immense challenge. And I kind of knew theoretically that I could do it. I thought, I think I've got this by hook or by crook, you know. And then I had. But it's really interesting. Everyone's heard about that in quite, you know, granular detail. But the thing about you asking it now is I would say, emotionally and physically, after a fashion, that the London Marathon, the middle one, was the hardest of the three. Because it was just against the odds. Mm. It was grinding against the gears of my life. And the bit of it being between runs was almost just the tip of the iceberg. Just the mould for the metaphor there.
Yes.
Which ties in with something we were just saying, is that maybe we see this, maybe it's easier for us, maybe we see it more clearly because of the freelancery. But, you know, when it comes down to it, runs, they've always got to fit in with what you're doing in your life. Mm-hmm. If your runs are all steady and you're always ready, the chances are you're not truly engaging with the rest of what the hell's going on.
No, they do have to fit in. And they can't, I mean, obviously, training routines are very important and some people take it very seriously, and that's all part of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, runs, if one's lucky enough to, well, ideally live near any sort of nice open space, or if you're just having to run literally wherever you are, it can be fitted into. I'm always reflecting, Rob, yep, on how I'll think, oh, I don't have time for a run. And, you know, of course, gearing up, stretching and charring adds a little bit on each side. But the fact is, I will destroy 45 minutes on my phone.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah, gone.
And you go, that's the window.
Yeah, and the other thing is, I think you and I were quite, I'm getting you right in front of the other
hall. Oh,
yes,
look at please.
That. Look at that. And there's the, get me in front of the hall. Hello.
Very nice.
I've been on there. You been on there?
No, I have not. I've nice. Watched a couple of lovely things. What have you done there?
I did, I'll tell you what, they were charity gigs. I couldn't actually sell the place out on my own ticket.
Very modest of you, Rob.
Yeah. It's a Parkinson's event called Symphony, which was put together by Morgan Pochin, who did teaching celebrities to be conductors. And so it was comedy and with an orchestra. And it's just a lovely comedy music crossover.
So who was
So it's the largest venue
conducting?
That's ever seen the Coffee Song.
And oh, wonderful.
James Morgan. So I've done, who lives with early onset Parkinson's himself, see. And I've done, first time I did the Coffee Song in front of thousands of people. It's a very special moment in my life, particularly as it's a sing-along. And then the second time I did, you know the jokes from seeing my set. One of them is based on Let It Go from Frozen.
Oh, yes.
And another one is Live and Let Die.
Yes.
And I did both of those with the orchestra.
Conkers?
no.
Wrong season.
Both summer gigs. That's right. Next time.
You're a man of admirable restraint. I'd say summer is close enough to say, hey, you know, enjoy the summer. Soon it'll be autumn. We all know what that means. fantastic ability.
Look, have you seen what's happening here?
It's called Gorilla Circus, and it's some sort of high ropes and swings.
Yeah, someone's going for a trapeze lesson.
Oh, wow.
It's like Madagascar 3.
You really are.
One of my favourite films of all time.
Is it?
But in a funny kind of way.
Okay.
I feel like you're overcompensating for not asking me about my Brighton Marathon last year, and I need to ask you right now to connect your fundraising challenge in Buckland last year with this year's London Marathon.
Thank you, Rob.
Have the floor.
I continue to run where possible and occasionally do fundraising gigs where possible for the MS Society. I, like you, run for a parent, my mum with MS, so they were doing a thing last year called the May 50K, which is why I thought I would try and do all 50K in a day at the start of May.
Yep.
And
beautiful. It also just rhymes a lot, doesn't it?
It's very... It's
a shame we haven't got a tunnel to echo that rhyming.
I think we'd be stretching ourselves to go and seek out a tunnel just for that purpose. And then as well as doing...
I having a kickboxing lesson. I thought she was just kicking that man.
This year, I was very excited to get a bit more of my family involved. Because my... So it's a lovely park, Hyde Park, but there is a bit of canine menace to it.
Yes.
Have a mourn.
That was a dog attacking, running after and barking at someone on the bike. And yeah. As you say, we're
and who you support there, it very much depends what team you're on life-wise.
That's right. And there's a couple of...
Dobermans.
Hey, serious dogs here. Gentlemen walking, black Alsatian, a Rottweiler, and a Doberman Pinscher.
And what I
they're all
do,
on short leads.
You were closer, and I didn't really create the space for you to run away from. I sort of like boxed you in.
Was I briefly a human shield? I've noticed that the more clued up cyclists have got those thick bits of like polystyrene and cloth on their forearms.
Yeah, yeah.
Just let it bite you there. So
it would be good, undeniably good numbers for the pod, though, wouldn't it, Rob, if you were mauled mid-episode?
Yeah, that was the only thing that could match the one where I lost Paul's phone.
So I've got a brother who does a lot of sport, but has never done a marathon, but has always...
Older, younger?
He's 4 years younger, but his general sort of fitness suggests that he, like me, and again, we are lucky as a family in this regard, that he would probably be able to turn his hand to long-distance running without too much trouble. And so he did the marathon with me this year.
Yeah.
And that was
lovely.
A joy. I think we probably could have maxed out the joy of it a bit more. We are reluctant to sleep on each other's sofas. Meant that we didn't stay together the night before.
Yeah.
And then... because of the faff of the trains and our different starting points, we didn't even meet up for a hug before starting.
Right,
which
right.
is a bit of a shame.
But when did you meet? Did you meet on the start
line?
We
met midway through the run, which was quite fun.
Well, there's something beautiful about that.
Yeah, that was a huge boost for me. We hadn't really... I'd lost track completely. Given that I had prepared for this marathon so much more than any that I've done before, which is not saying a huge amount, but no. I was very keen to, and I'm delighted to say that I succeeded in following in the footsteps of, priest of this parish, Paul Tonkinson, and managed to do it in just under 3 hours.
Because last year, keen listeners will know that you simultaneously got a stupendous time. Was it 3:10?
In Brighton, I got 3:22.
3:22.
Without too much training.
So yeah, you hadn't really trained. You just turned up and got 3:22. So you thought, if I bottle this and do some sensible training, I mean, it could have gone the other way if you did it wrong.
Yeah.
You could lose the naivety, the freshness that got you that.
Oh, I'm powered by naivety. Please, let me hold on to the last remaining shreds of my
naivety.
Naivety
is a wonderful thing.
The ingenue of the marathon
scene. There you are now in front of the round pond.
The round pond. I mean, there are...
Kensington Palace behind
me. It's got to be one of the best ponds.
Yeah, but possibly not one of the most excitingly named.
No. But it is round.
I threw it away. You got sub 3. What was your time, actually?
2:59, 19 or something.
Wow.
A little bit of leeway.
And how many seconds?
19, I think.
Isn't that exactly the time that Paul got?
I think, I was considered myself right up until sort of, thinking about his book and his mantras and stuff during the race.
Yeah.
I was following in his footsteps. The aim was not to get a few seconds on him. I think I did it a tiny bit faster than him.
Yeah.
But I mean,
but if so, like 2 seconds, that's brutal.
If your time begins with 2, you're not worrying about who
Wait a minute.
Got the faster 2:59.
Are you poisoning him? Is that why you're here and not him?
Best of luck to you, Paul. Maybe.
Wow. So you were reading his book. What was your... wind it back. I want to see this. First of all, what was your training? And then secondly, what happened on the day?
My training, as I said, it was better than previous, but it was still a bit all over the shop.
Yeah.
And my brother shamed me a bit, actually, because he took it quite seriously and he was doing his long run every week at the same sort of time.
Yeah.
My thing was that I some very fun stuff in Paul's book about abstinence. I'm not as much.
I'm remembering a breakfast buffet.
The breakfast buffet, and these lovely, pictures Paul paints of sliding into odd bins of a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
I'm not a big wine drinker yet. I'm sure it'll come, but it's instant headache for me.
Yeah.
But
it's amazing in terms of what we were saying about not being able to fit into a schedule. It's how regularly Paul and I more and more find time to regularly drink much too much
right.
on Sunday.
Yes, it's a lovely day for it. And again, yeah. it's painted as a lovely marital project with Paul. I love all of it.
Yeah.
But no, it's a lot of the books about giving up the wine and the biscuits.
Yeah.
And I'm a big snacker, and I don't. And I drink ale and occasionally rum, and I don't sleep enough. Of course, headaches, but, you know, in a slightly sort of less sort of depressingly instant way.
Yeah.
And so I tried to get rid of all of that. I did dry January, which ended up being dry sort of everything until April.
Impressive.
And actually,
I thought you could say ended up being 3 days. It ended up being 3 months.
No, you're pretty much four till the marathon.
But, wow.
And that was my, you know, and I probably. I did a lot more running than usual. I fitted in some lovely, again, a bit like in your book when you talk about running when you're on tour. I was up in Harrogate 1 week, where one of my best friends and his family lives, and he recommended a couple of reservoirs. I think they're called Fewston and Swinsty. And
nice.
I had a brilliant run around those.
Yeah.
And a slightly less picturesque long run around Darlington, my longest run.
your longest, how long was your longest run?
I think that was about 20 miles.
Yeah. Well, that's some good old
waterside
old railways around Darlington. Didn't do any of
that. Yeah, I'm afraid I didn't locate any of them. I was running along main roads.
Yeah.
Getting
yourself ready for the London pollution levels.
That's exactly right.
Yeah,
although
yeah.
Darlington, you can't dream of matching us for poverty
yeah,
and equality.
Yeah, we've got the best.
We're filth. Filth HQ. So,
Filth HQ, that was a tough gig. Remember playing that one? The only one blue.
The late show at Filth HQ.
Come for the blue at Filth HQ.
We, But actually, what I wondered as well about, I mean, this is not a podcast about abstinence, and people speak very eloquently and interestingly and with much more sort of serious journeys than mine. But I thought, oh, well, maybe that'll be good because as well as, you know, helping sort of, you know, generally make me feel like I'm committed to the run, you know, less cloudy heads in the mornings and a bit more sort of, just a bit more sort of clarity.
Yeah.
Truth be told... as someone who's lucky never to, you know, thus far, sort of tipped over the edge into it being sort of just too much of a regular thing or a heavy thing.
Yeah.
I love, you know, having one or two.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, and it's a big lubricant in my life.
Yeah, I agree.
And I didn't enjoy, it wasn't the sole factor. I was working hard and, you know, feeling a bit stressed in the winter, but I didn't really enjoy much of Q1 because there were no sort of releases of various pressures.
Yeah,
I felt much more self-conscious and anxious at social events. Something to, you know, perhaps read into more elsewhere. But so actually my motivation
no,
on the
I
day...
No, but I think that's societal history, isn't it? We are, as a species, something... I'm not sure that civilization would exist as it does without intoxicants.
Yes.
Because that's what they are. They're social lubricants. You know, they would anyone have ever sat down and said anything other than get more food, work hard, if they hadn't, you know, licked a frog or fermented some hops or whatever the hell people did thousands of years ago. That's what led to them going, yeah, you know, we always hunt, but I never get to know the real you.
Oh man! Well, I didn't lick a frog for 4 months.
And, that must have been tough.
It was tough, and
everything looked completely normal. I did the London Marathon entirely without visuals, and it was a great day.
Wasn't a great day for the people around me. It was an absolute nightmare for them. So my and it, you know, Paul. Sorry to keep talking about Paul's book. I just
it's all right.
he goes deep and dark.
That's a relevant story
for his motivation.
Yeah,
mine was kind of because for all of that prep, I hadn't really actually worked out how I was going to time myself or keep out. You know, I got the apps on my phone, but I didn't get a watch. And then
yep.
I thought, well, maybe I'll just have the apps on my phone, and that will just tell me in my ears. And I pretty much know my pace now, and I know what the pace needs to be. And maybe
good.
I'll see a pacer, and I'll follow them.
Yep.
You know, we're fine. But then a bit slow on the morning to get there.
Some people listening think it sounds good, and other people listening think what?
So exactly. Well, particularly when it's like it was the defining event of my year, and
yeah.
I'd made not insignificant changes. changes to my life to accommodate it. And then it's like, what? And I'm just going to wing it time-wise.
Yes.
And it was raining, chasing so I couldn't look at my phone. I was like, sort of, you know when you're trying to sort of unlock your phone, but it's raining and the screen doesn't work? Like, What am I how am I doing this now after everything else?
Yep.
And I started late, so I obviously doesn't affect your time, but you, the pace is you've got no idea what you're really aiming for.
Yeah, right.
And that was how I ended up meeting my brother midway through.
So how long did it take you to get over the start line?
I started at 10:15.
Right.
And then also, you know, you're always going to be weaving in the first few miles of a big urban marathon.
Yep.
But that's that slight thing of, again, you're just weaving around so many people, and people who most of them surely aren't aiming to do it in 3 hours. So by definition, even if they might be faster than you, then you're sort of so conscious that, like, I'm losing time already.
Yeah, and I mess this up.
And so I was quite livid with myself. And then I actually had sort of given up on the sub three and thought, well, let's just try and enjoy it. And then I felt myself getting faster around the middle. And then was
just
able to...
Just a moment, we're passing where we started. Yes. You happy to run on?
Of course.
Great.
Started to feel faster, did a few calculations and realised that it might still be possible.
And actually, one of those classic things is that, while we wrestle with our bodies... Sorry, while we wrestle with our front brain, our egos, our bodies can just be getting on with it. So exactly the moment where you're getting all angry, thinking I've done this all wrong, the situation was... Keep it holding you back a little bit.
I've never felt so much. It's the thing I love about every sort of medium to long run. The point where I'm sure you'll be blessed with all sorts of technical and scientific languages, but I always just say, when your body knows it's doing a long run.
Yeah.
And it's like the first, the second 5 kilometres are actually much easier than the first five.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, the last five of the 42 or whatever, the last 10. So that middle was suddenly great. And then...
It's the physical reality of that thing we always say about how all that worrying, all that thinking you do, you're going to... By the time you get to the meat of the run, that is too late. You've done all that thinking.
Yeah, and it starts to fall off you a bit.
Yeah.
And then my motivation... I've channeled a few different frustrations into it. But one of them was just thinking... You've told so many people about this. Of course, you've caveated the sub three thing constantly because it's quite arrogant to be like, my fastest ever marathon is 3:17. I'm going to do sub three. It may just not be possible at all.
Yeah.
And you've emphasized that. But nonetheless, you've told people that's your aim. You've made changes to your life. You've not really felt any better for it. You felt worse for it.
Yeah, you did them on
principle.
And now
you sort of started late and you're just going to just muff it on the day. You know, before
time
you even hit the wall or
muff.
Anything.
Oh, you muffed it.
That was a big one in the Graham house growing up.
Yeah.
Mess was guff and failure was muff.
That's so funny because I was gigging with Jenny Collier the other day who talks in her set about guffs.
Yeah.
It's just something...
I think she's got the expression, a guff in the bay.
Yeah,
which is absolutely... And that's not
it's
a reference
beautiful.
To having lots of mess in
and
my
And the great thing is just saying guff is so... You know, it's genius. It's inherently... It's just obviously funny.
Yeah.
And she was talking about a gig she did recently for... English as a second language audience just didn't know the word guff. She's like, well, this is it. You know, it's like turning up for a race without your shoes. It's like, well, first of all, take it as read that the word guff is inherently hilarious. And then we can all move on. Anyway, guffs and muffs.
I think I wish I'd known that when I was 8 and I said guff in front of my class at school. and everyone had a good old laugh.
A comedy career was accidentally begun.
Yeah, well, that's how it works, isn't it? Short-term humiliation,
yep.
Long-term ambition.
Hey, I was compared to Chief Wiggum, much to my chagrin, before I started claiming it as my own joke.
Do you lean more into the Wiggum? Do you see him as an impressive man?
Well, put it this way: I used to happily make the comparison on stage, but I put a lot of work into looking a lot less like him over time. I just remember a scientist guy says, this is a triangle. And Chief Wiggum says, whoa, slow down there, egghead.
On the loosely related topic of donuts, Alex Keeley and I,
donut.
Whenever we basically have the loosest justification for it, we'll buy Krispy Kremes, whether we've just done a sort of show together and we're sort of a service station at 2 o'clock in the morning.
If it's a day with a Y in it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
if the sun's shining, if it's raining, it's grey. What are we whistling, Rob?
Egyptians.
Oh, for God's sake.
Those ducks are Egyptians.
Even if you think...
The weird thing is, I know they're Egyptian, but I don't know if they're ducks or geese. Egyptian somethings.
I think... I wonder, I mean, I feel much more settled in doing this podcast with you and sort of running and walk and talking. I think I'll be on maybe sort of guest appearance 5 when I start to feel confident enough to bring wildlife-based observations to the table. I'm some way off.
I wouldn't worry about it because you know that Paul's never seen it as any kind of an assisting.
Right.
On the contrary, that when I do my wildlife observations, he gives a distinct impression of waiting.
Oh, right.
Just waiting for it to stop.
Well,
as our listeners, I was going to say, I think, you know, it sounds bad. It sounds like I'm bitching, but people who listen to the podcast can hear this clearly.
My brother's aim for his first marathon was to do it faster than I'd done mine, first one, which was 3:17.
Yeah.
And he did it in 3:14.
So when
fantastically impressive. So we both achieved our aims.
Absolutely huge. And when did you, how far in were you and where were you in your story when you saw him?
I'd say about sort of 20 miles in. So a great
time for an
emotional boost. And I'd just seen my parents at the side of the road as well.
Yep.
And tried to hug my dad and he'd shoved me back into the road, which is very much the that's the relationship. Well,
I'm looking at trying to read out the subtext on that story, but it's too much. It's too much here.
Go for the short-term subtext of dad thinking that my time is most important rather than the sort of longer-term subtext of, you know, physical awkwardness.
Get away from me and achieve.
I sent you away at 7. So that you wouldn't want these hugs. So my brother, and again, we couldn't really work out, like, why. I said to my brother, I think we're on course for sub 3. My brother said, I don't think I am. And of course, he'd actually started earlier than me. So it was a bit confusing that. I really would. It's such basic advice, but have whatever systems you need in place to know
what the time is.
Yeah. Because mine eventually became, well, I started at 10:15, so I need to finish by 12:15, and so, you know, roughly working backwards from there in sort of.
But isn't
just
it great that you
minute.
Actually literally, if my experience is any comparison with yours, you start. There is a kind of connection between that lostness and the difficulty of the marathon and the absolute, well, not for everyone, but, you know, when you make it, the inevitability of the finish line. And in London, that's connected literally with Big Ben.
Yeah,
I know. You're getting more and more bewildered and confused around 23 miles. But you're like, well, I think...
I must be there because there's Ben.
And if there's... And then you see the clock and you're like, yeah, and it's about... And I need to, you know... So now instead of going... I mean, other runners are going, this is ridiculous. Just get a watch, guys. But... You know, it becomes this kind of loose,
you need
spongy.
To watch when you've got a clock.
It's
when
about
you've got the most famous clock in the world.
It's sort of a mile, and I've sort of got a quarter of an hour.
Yeah.
And I sort of don't think I can make it at all, but I sort of think I can put one foot in front of the other and get there. And this is what leads to times that finish in 59. Because that's what we both got.
Yeah, well, maybe, and that's all we need to say on the subject. I'm happy to reverse engineer it like that. It's got a lovely accidental poetry to it, but fundamentally, I'm keen to make my life more organised rather than more sort of poetically disorganised.
Yeah.
Because a lot of my, you know, friends and collaborators don't see the poetry in it. they're well within their rights not to.
Yeah, what we see is poetically.
Well, what you see is you waiting on a bench outside the cafe for 10-15 minutes after our prearranged time.
After a number of text conversations ended, just didn't end.
Yes, no, and I'm sorry for that as well.
Is this what you're telling me? You're telling me that you're not a deal closer?
No, the slightest. I like to leave every just sort of decision floating in the ether for as long as possible. And it's
cool.
And it's it's ridiculous, and I've started doing. I'll just launch quickly into another side topic.
There are no side topics.
Started
we want
doing
it all.
A pod, much like you've been doing for many years, doing a podcast about one of my primary passions with one of my best friends, Alex Keeley. We both got a lot of live music together.
Yep.
So we started doing a podcast. A hugely, I'd say, even more labor-intensive than, you know, popping on mics for your runs. A podcast where we go to gigs with guests.
Yeah.
And then we meet up. So it requires a second meeting with the guests. So we meet up a sort of few days or weeks later and talk about the gig and just a general sort of music going experiences. And that's the podcast, Gig Pigs.
Yeah.
But it's meant that I have had, for the last few months, a sort of regular working relationship, which through lack of real competition, is one of the most sort of regular gigs, bracket pigs, that I've ever had. And even that, you know, the admin of that, you realise so quickly, well, he does quite a lot more it than I do, and yeah. I fall short in these ways. And, you know, we went to watch a fantastic Canadian indie band called Always last night, spelled All Vays. And I was...
When you say spelled with a V?
With two Vs.
Oh, okay.
Very cool. But more importantly, very melodic and moving.
Yeah.
But
so you didn't give them two Vs at the end of the
night? No, Vs were flicked. It would have been an astonishing decision.
Yeah.
We went to see Limp Bizkit a couple of weeks ago. The Vs might have been flicked there.
But less but relevant story-wise.
Less relevant. Well, arguably none of this is hugely relevant, but obviously we've shared so many lovely musical things.
That's right. I thought of you when I saw PSV at Choxy last year.
Oh, really? Yeah. What a treat. Yeah. I haven't topped up my PSB for the last couple
That's
of years.
That's a public service broadcaster rather than Pet Shop Boys.
Yes. Although, you know, well, I saw the Pet Shop Boys last year at Glastonbury, and it was a joy.
I think,
from a point of view of being, you know, touching the nose of history, I should have been watching Kendrick Lamar on the main stage.
Oh, yeah.
Touching the nose of history.
I know.
I can't even work out which two expressions I'm sort of trying to mix there, but there we go.
Yeah. It sounds like, I think I've heard a phrase, but I thought it was more to do with how you serve a chicken.
And I enjoyed
and
your...
You're also making me think of dogs. I touched the wet nose of history and
yeah,
then
maybe
scratched
that,
it behind the ears.
That's a bit closer, but anyway, it's not language that should be anywhere near the sort of reverence of watching Kendrick Lamar at Glastonbury. Anyway.
But isn't there something wonderful and more common than people admit to about opting not to see the big gig at the festival? You know, so yeah, I didn't go.
Let's go. So let's have some Sunday night cheese by some of the finest cheesemakers in the business. With the Pet Shop Boys are absolutely
joyous.
Yeah,
but don't cut off the nose of the brie. His nose is left, right and centre.
He'll always find a link. If you give Deering enough ingredients, he'll bake a dish pretty quickly. Pet Shop Boys tracks are always a welcome addition to any running playlist, I would say.
Yep.
I've dropped one of my headphones. But I really enjoyed that your London playlist started with everything in its right place.
Yeah.
We're actually doing an episode of our podcast, which, by the way, I was going to say, I'd love to go to a gig with you at some point.
Yeah, let's play. Yeah, but, that's a big yes for me.
We went to see a night of jazz covers of Kid A, which was, you know, the furthest into sort of self-parodying, sort of awkward white boy territory I think we've ever got. Yeah. You know, Radiohead aren't on tour, but my God, we're still going to get our Radiohead episode in somehow.
I've got a jazz trio cover of Paranoid Android on one of my playlists.
Oh, really?
Which is... It's pretty special, but yeah.
I'm not sure I could have run to Everything in Its Right Place, jazz or original.
I think that Everything in Its Right Place, I think that was part of the trigger of my doing the These Are My Random Songs version of the Running Church Radio again, because there's something that is like a, what am I trying to say here? It's a flag I would wave for how I feel about running music, because one instinctively would say, well, that's a fairly experimental bit of Radiohead. Surely that's not ideal running music. But actually, it sounds amazing in headphones.
Yeah.
It's got a propulsive forward motion. And even at a kind of emotional level, it's kind of, is it positive and life-enhancing? Or is it a little bit kind of difficult and paranoid? And these are all... It's perfect running music.
And it's always good if you're listening to it at that point in the marathon where a volunteer passes you a lemon to suck on.
Yeah. And you say to him, yesterday I was sucking on lemons. Yesterday I was sucking on lemons. Yesterday I was sucking on lemons.
Well, you've made a fantastic case for it. And it also featured... The Hot Chip cover of Dancing in the Dark, which is an all-timer for me.
What an incredible song that is.
My favourite band cover, one of my favourite songs.
Romantic about that song. It's not really in there. I think the first time I heard it, I must for some reason have been thinking about my wife. And when I hear it now, I think, oh, there she is.
Oh, that's...
I don't know how that happened, but...
Whereas I'm sure the reality of having done as many marathons as you have is that your wife stopped turning up to watch long ago.
No, you know, you've obviously heard it, but that moment when you see someone in London Marathon is so key. Mm. Seeing her at the same moment as claiming an isotonic drink and drinking it and throwing the cup into the bin, James Bond style, and her going, hi, and giving me a hug, which she welcomed me for. There was no push. No.
I've always said that your relationship with your wife is much stronger than my relationship with my father. That's why I envy you.
That's the comparison, the key comparison for both of us, I think. And of course, the next song then was Rock and Roll by Led Zeppelin. Yes. Is that more on the nose? I don't know.
Here's another question for you about listening to music. And obviously, you know, you have...
All around us, by the way. Starlings.
I mean, again, just to be able to be certain of that, it's another world knowledge-wise for me, but thank you. Thank you for educating me. Do you... And again, obviously, you wouldn't be hearing any... Well, not that you would probably hear any starlings over the noise at a marathon. But when you've got your headphones in, and I saved... There was a particular DJ set. I've decided in recent months my favourite genre is Italo disco.
Nice.
Pure cheese.
Is that where the birth of a Italo house is, where we... The way to pin it down is stomping on a piano. Dum dum ding ding ding
ding ding ding ding. It's exactly those sort of housey pianos.
Yeah.
And a bit of overlap with bands like the Pet Shop Boys and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But I... So there was a DJ set for someone called Palms Tracks that I thought, I'm going to have that somewhere near the Isle of Dogs. And that's gonna lift me up. And it came through exactly as hoped.
Yeah.
But what you sacrifice is obviously, you know, the joy and the encouragement to the crowd, and also the possibility that you might miss either someone you've prearranged to sort of wave at or have an attempt to hug with. Or even, you know, we're public facing runners.
Yeah,
we chronicle our experiences on podcasts. You know, it'd be nice then if, should anyone who listens to any of those be there to cheer on, if you weren't just completely locked in your own private musical.
Well, I think there's two things about that. Again, this is a classic doing manoeuvre. Well, two things.
Yeah, please.
Talks for 10 straight minutes. listeners.
I'm not guilt-free on that subject myself.
Here are my two things about that. I think I'm definitely guilty of missing people on runs. I missed my family once and had to phone them up and say, I think I've gone past you.
People in my family say that in a very different context. I missed my family once, but
it was a passing feeling, and I haven't experienced it again. We're crossing again here. We're looping the park and the Serpentine. So we started by following the Serpentine to its base, crossed it, and then completed the loop of the park, passed our start point, and followed the boundary of the park to the same place. And now we'll follow the Serpentine back to our start point. It's a great route.
I'll enjoy looking at the route because it's been one of the things where I've been lost in your company, and obviously trusting in your direction of it. If you ask me to draw on a map the sort of route we've taken,
that's the magic of the Mountain Ultra. The other guy, again, I've told this story so people have heard it, but there was a guy up there. It was in Cloud. He'd never been there before. And he just got down at the end of the day and said, I don't know where we just were. I don't know where I've been.
Yeah, which, you know, it's a lovely testament to the transcendence of a run, but it
there's
is also
a poetic,
a bit
what,
of a shame.
What do you say, poetic uselessness to it?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think that's quite what you said.
I think poetic was in there, even though it being far less an important or truthful word. So the first thing was that you missed your family once.
Yeah, I think that sometimes I do miss people, but I believe, you could call me out on this, but I believe that that's more likely to be a symptom of my frame of mind at that moment than actually being not hearing them because I've got headphones on.
Yep.
And I would say, so that's one. So like, for example, I think in this London Marathon,
Can I get one of you, Rob?
Yeah, do it.
For the
we can even stop if you like.
Well, you know, with the Serpentine and the pedalo, so I'm interrupting your point, but I'm conscious that if I'm in all the photos, what kind of a pod art will that be?
Oh, I've taken quite a few of myself. I don't want to worry about that. Excellent. Me and you while we're here. Getting the post you got. Excellent. I think that this London just gone, I don't think I missed anyone. Lots of times people shout at you when you're just passing. And you look back, you know, someone near the end saw me and said, I don't think you saw me. And that's because I heard and saw them just as I passed them.
Exactly.
And my response to them was like this. So they might not have seen that. It's just one kind of flapping hand seen from the back. But basically, I would say, in my case, I'm almost more likely to engage with passers-by and things that are going on if I'm listening to music, because it quiets my unhelpful thoughts and keeps me up in the world. I'm not sure that's true for everyone else, but
Rob, I think that's as someone Always keen to put a couple of mufflers on those thought patterns myself. That's all the justification I need.
Yeah.
Fire up the music. So my dad did this. I'm desperately stringing together these strands.
As the rope maker once said.
I hope he wasn't too desperate about it. It's his trade. Or her. And that's pretty bad form from me.
Oh, he was so sexist about the rope makers. I think, remember when I said about there were no tangents? I take it back.
Me texting you later saying, Rob, can we cut my rope maker based sexism out of the my dad, so as well as me and my brother doing this marathon, we did this sort of family day at a properly organised, you know, chips and chip times and finish lines.
Yeah.
But, you know, a slightly more casual thing in Victoria Park.
Yeah.
You know, one of those ones, I think it's called a run-through event day.
Oh, where yeah. I took a photo of you back there by the bandstand, and I did a 10K here in Hyde Park.
Oh, great.
On that very spot.
And were they offering five, you know, different lengths? So, yeah, you could, and I think about maybe a couple of thousand people did either 5 or 10 or a half marathon.
Yep.
So my brother did the half marathon preparing for the marathon a couple of weeks later. My dad did the half marathon, and he's the one who got us all into running, and he's in great shape.
How old is he?
But he's 62. Yeah. He's never done a half marathon and was quite sweetly, quite sort of anxious about it. And actually, even my aunt said, oh, are you sure you should be making your father do this? You know, what if it doesn't go quite as well as you hope it will?
Yeah.
I sort of thought, I mean, of course it's a risk, but, you know, if you run 10K regularly and you're, you know, panting at the end, but you're fine, then you probably can do a half marathon and it will be hard at the end, but that's sort of the point. Anyway, my dad did it fantastically and I hope we'll do more together. He was obsessed with his playlist. He was obsessed, and perhaps you can talk him out of this indirectly in the same way you've talked me out of feeling guilty about listening to music at all.
Yeah.
Obsessed with BPM.
Right.
And he loves organising his music collection via, you know, any new categorisation which allows him to go and spend time with his CDs. It is a happy justification. But with this one, I can't remember the BPM.
Yeah,
but basically, it's 120 maybe. And he was telling anyone who'd listen about this playlist. And it meant, you know.
Imagine that. Imagine telling anyone who'd listen about your playlist. Ack is describing own life.
And it's. I think we both need to hold our hands up there. So he didn't. He listened to quite an odd mix of stuff. He had four songs by the band Editors, who I'm, you know, very fond of. But I think purely by dint of the fact that they were pretty nicely within the BPM wheelhouse.
Yeah, yeah.
So he was there very much in his own private 120 BPM editorial space.
I would say, you know, it's fundamentally not just listening to music for different reasons, but listening to music probably at a different level, using different pathways of the brain.
Yes.
Than I would be.
Well, you. I don't think I could go. Maybe it will come with doing more marathons and just wanting to have new sort of ways of experiencing it. But for me, I like the control. I think randomizing it on the big day, brilliant, but I knew what I wanted to listen to and what I wanted to bail me out at certain points, and I think I'd struggle to abandon that completely.
I think if I did that, I would never have done that, so I don't have to fight to not
do that. Yes, okay.
Because I'm more Egyptian.
You're a shuffler.
Goose babies.
I'm not sure I can look at another bloody Egyptian goose room. They've lost all their charm for me.
Little idiots.
So they did that. My sister did 5, and she ended up doing 10K on the day. And then I've talked right over you there, Rob.
No.
I'm getting to the last part of my agenda, but it has occurred to me that I'd love, cynically, to use this as a bit of a call out because I'm looking for sort of advice. I pushed my mum in
into a
her wheelchair. Yeah, yeah. Oh. That was how I sort of, you know, cheered everyone up at the start of the day. bit of physical comedy to start us off. I pushed her into a lake in such a fancy wheelchair as well. They were not happy
Very
that people
expensive.
Over at Teleshop.
So you're looking to raise some money to.
Yeah, to pay
this
back.
This is one of those times we have to say something that rhymes.
my mum's in a chair.
Too late.
And you know what? I was struggling to sort of complete that both rhymingly and sort of tonally.
Yeah.
So there we go. So with this company called Delishon, and I think we're going to get one if we're going to do more of this, but they lent this lovely sports wheelchair.
Yeah.
So I pushed that, and I didn't do it much slower, the half marathon, than I think I would have done otherwise, because it's just so, it's such a smooth race. And my mum, you know, enjoyed the atmosphere and was able to, you know, she did the Wordle. And you know,
on the way around.
And we've sort of pop because you're doing several loops.
Yeah.
We passed my, you know, passed all the other members of the family a bit, and that was fun. And it was such a great
thing.
This was
at the run through in Victoria Park.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was, I did a half marathon pushing mum. And so now it's just, particularly having now ticked off my sub-3, my mumless goal, I now want to do a marathon with mum.
Oh, that's a great idea.
But I did see, I wasn't sort of looking out too much for it, but I passed someone on the London Marathon who was pushing someone in a sports wheelchair, not unlike that one. And the thing about London is, it's so crowded.
Yeah.
And it looked just very stressful. They were sort of barking as respectfully as they could at people around them to be like, careful, watch out.
Yeah.
And so.
Well, I know that there was, I don't know if this is the same people you saw, but I was with two people at the start who were doing it together. He was in a wheelchair and she was pushing it. And as I understand from watching the wires online, they were unable to complete the London Marathon, but then they completed the Leeds Marathon.
Oh, yeah, which is...
Rob Burrow.
Yeah, which is amazing. You know, association with Rob Burrow,
yeah,
and Kevin Sinfield, who runs for and often with him.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, a wonderful story.
Yeah,
and it's,
so I think in a way, although obviously that must have been very disappointing in London, and there's all kind of, I don't know the story there, whether it was because it was too crowded or the weather or exhaustion, like anyone else who does a DNF, you know.
Yes.
But I think that.
What's it's a DNF, Rob? Sorry.
Oh, sorry. Does not finish. Did not finish.
Oh, sorry. Yes.
So basically, when you look at the results, you see DNF. It's a slightly euphemistic way of saying I muffed it.
Yeah.
Because
I'd like to do a marathon, Mum, and I, you know, daring to dream if I worked hard on my.
Well, hey, listen. I know you're throwing it out there, but I know what I want you to do. I want you to come and do that in York.
Is there a marathon in York?
Always do the York Marathon. I do it every year. It's my fastest marathon. It's a favourite marathon of mine. It's in mid-October.
Smooth paths for wheels.
It's very, it's a road marathon.
Yes.
So, yeah, pretty good. And it's mildly hilly, but not more than London. There aren't any actual hills. It just has a light gradient profile.
All right. Well
and I'm doing it. I'm trying to persuade Paul to do it. If you were there...
In September.
And your mum... October.
October.
Yeah?
Even better. Bit of recovery time after that.
You see that building up ahead of us? That's the shack me and my mates used to hang out in. Drinking cider.
This is a lovely sort of groundhog pod. Where we've entered to the loops now.
This is a lovely sort of groundhog pod. Where we... See what I've done? So that's...
I got you, babe.
Fantastic. I was just going to... I was going to say something about the playlist. Which
oh,
is
yes.
That, see, it's all about that seeking out naivety, you know, holding on to what we don't know and trying to surprise ourselves with...
Yeah.
With, you know, trying to trick the subconscious into doing the job. And with the music, I never plan it because I worry, I don't trust myself. I think if I plan it, it's going to disappoint me. I'm going to get to that point and find that I... don't want it anymore, you know, that I've changed my mind.
That's so true. I found that much less sort of significantly, but still quite annoyingly, with preparing a pre-show playlist I really like for my sort of tour shows, and then getting annoyed if it's been sort of start at the wrong time, so the right songs aren't coming on chronologically just before I'm about to come on stage.
Yeah.
And so what I'm doing is I'm sitting in my dressing room feeling sort of already stressed as if it matters at all,
yeah.
Whereas now I've learnt my lesson and I just, you know, give it to the tech and say, just on shuffle, and I like them all. So
yeah,
and
yeah.
Also, crucially, it doesn't
much
matter.
Better, much better. And you can actually sometimes give yourself a little jump that makes you think, this is great!
So much
and
better.
And that doesn't have to happen all the time. That's the thing.
And see, the naivety is preserved.
I'm cheating now because I've got a massive playlist, right? So I know that I, at least on Sundays, love every one of the songs on it to run. And I have run to it in the past. But on the other hand, it's 80 hours of music.
Yes.
So I can always... So I'm being surprised, but surprised are records that I chose specifically. And then the other thing is, more prosaically, if I don't like it, I just flick on.
Yes.
Sometimes...
You can always flick on.
You can always flick on. Unless it's raining and you can't get your phone out of your pocket and all that stuff.
Caveats everywhere. But no, we've done a longer loop than last time we ran together.
Yeah.
And it's been such a nice catch up.
We've
and I picked up some lovely lessons.
Almost exactly 10K. That's good, isn't it?
Yeah, that's very pleasing.
Yeah, that's what you want.
It's an app I don't recognise.
It's Runkeeper.
Runkeeper, okay. We won't end the episode with a comparative of the various apps.
Well, yeah, the key thing is to, I feel like there's simple conversation that listeners want us on Strava so they can compare, and that's why we're not on it.
Yes. yeah, it's...
I don't want to compare.
I think that's very good. I think, you know, Strava deals in the currency of kudos. Oh, and nice. I think if that's where you're getting
caveats
your kudos...
Caveats everywhere in the currency of kudos.
I don't know if you do episode titles, but, you know, plot that
but
straight
that
in.
But that one won't fit in.
thank you for this, Rob. It's been a joy.
I can't believe it. I feel like PR-wise, I'm a failure because I haven't talked to you about Taskmaster.
Oh, well, I mean, I'm very much enjoying doing that. A lot of my
totally
poetic disorganisation is there.
It's totally deliberate, but I've got you here today as it's... As it's
reaching sort of its climax, although sort of in running terms, I think I'm quite close to a DNF actually. points wise, I'm going for laughs at this point.
Great work there with hearing something and using it straight away.
You've got it. I'm only good on short term retention, so I have to be quick. But no, I've loved doing that, and you're very kind to plug it. But really, I love talking to you about running and music.
So yeah, well, let's do it again. While I come on your podcast, we'll go to a gig.
I would love that.
We'll go and see a jazz band doing cover versions of early Led Zeppelin.
Absolutely perfect. If you can't get the real thing, and you really can't, then that's what it'll have to be. Rob, I was about to go into an anecdote about my father listening to Led Zeppelin, and neither you nor your listeners.
Please tell me about your father listening to Led Zeppelin. Come on,
no, keep... you're spared.
All right,
you're
next
spared.
Time. Next time.
With Paul Tompkinson and Rob Deering.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.